We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? What's going on? This is Hogan Johns, episode 157. And in studio today.
Feels nice.
For one last time inside Tribune Tower. We figured, you know, we just had to do an emotional send-off to
it is sad.
The Trib Tower.
A piece of history.
Even though we usually
is leaving. It's a historical thing, man.
We probably only do two or three of these a year here inside Tribune Tower, but this will be the last one because WGN Radio is in the process of a move, and it is it's happening.
We did our roundtable mock drafts here a couple years in a row.
We did. We did. And it's kind of sad that this many, not just us leaving, but the Chicago Tribune, which has obviously been in the Tribune building forever, is leaving. And, we'll just say goodbye. This place has been a ghost town for months now. And it's just kind of weird being around here. Yeah. Your experience
It's such a beautiful building to begin with. The architecture, so unique, stands out in the Chicago skyline. It's going to be condominiums now.
Yeah.
I just hope it stays intact, the building itself.
I think
it cannot leave. Yeah,
I think they're going to keep a lot of that.
You have to.
If you're thinking about buying a condo here, though,
Chance the Rapper, is he not?
Just make sure they fix the plumbing before.
What are you flushing down these pipes?
I assume they're going to have to redo everything in here.
Mm-hmm.
But when the seventh floor of a tower floods multiple times in 1 year, that shouldn't be happening.
The seventh floor,
right?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's other floors.
Yeah.
But
I'd hate to be the sixth floor if the seventh floor
right.
is flooding.
But usually it's the ground floor and the water comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got floors in the middle of buildings flooding multiple times.
Yes.
Before you go spending millions of dollars on a condo here, just make sure that gets done. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would live here. That's cool.
Right in the heart of downtown, Michigan Avenue.
Sure.
I just hope they keep the architecture intact. It needs to be a piece of Chicago history for many decades to come.
I think they have to.
It's a landmark, is it not?
Yeah. I think there's certain, just like Soldier Field, they couldn't take the columns off.
Oh, well, if they take off the top and drop like a UFO inside the building here.
Right.
Fire that architect.
This is Hogan Johns, episode 157. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com as well. Please search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. If you are not subscribed, that's where you go, and that's how you find it to subscribe. If you are subscribed, please go to those places and leave us a rating and a review, and we appreciate you doing that. Help spread the word on the pod. So I hope everyone enjoyed the Memorial Day weekend. We're coming out Tuesday instead of Monday because of the long weekend, of course.
Too much sun and fun over there, huh?
Sun and fun and maybe a couple beers. Managing to have a good time over Memorial
Day. Raspy voices here.
But before Memorial Day weekend, we were out at OTAs again last week. This is the last week OTAs this week as we record, and then there's Bears mini camp next week already.
God, the season's coming fast.
Yeah, this is part
100
of the,
days away, I believe, is what Twitter is saying.
Before the training camp. Or,
no, before the first preseason game, is it not? So it would be the Bears and Ravens in Canton, Ohio.
Right.
Hall of Fame game.
The Hall of Fame game.
100 days away.
Wow.
Yeah, did I freak out?
A little bit.
Football's coming fast.
A little bit. So last week we were out at House Hall for OTAs, and it was kind of a weird day. A lot of stuff going on. You had the national anthem craziness that literally came out after the players were already on the field. And then...
Yeah, that morning.
I'll give the Bears credit for one. They don't always handle the media relations side of things perfect all the time. But they did a good thing to address this with Sam Acho, their NFLPA rep, who wasn't scheduled to talk. It was an offensive day. Only offensive players were available to the media. They made Sam Acho available, but they also let him finish practice, go read up and figure out everything that actually happened while he was practicing instead of just letting him, you know, have to like react to it live. Some of those players were getting asked questions off the practice field, and they like didn't even know
what was going on.
Anything
had happened. Yeah, even Matt Nagy had to be informed, literally practicing all day.
Yeah. So anyway, that was all going on. We're not going to get into the whole thing about that, but just kind of setting the stage of what last Wednesday was like. That was kind of the main story. On the side of things, I mentioned that it was an offensive day, so we put in our request for offensive players, and one of those players we wanted to talk to was Kevin White. Haven't heard from him in a while. He did not have the fifth-year option picked up on his contract. No surprise there. And he hadn't addressed it yet. So that should be something that the Bears were prepared for, to get requests for Kevin White, and I'm sure they were. But Kevin White should have known that he was most likely going to talk to the media. Well, after practice, he clearly did not want to talk to us. He sat there on the side for a long time.
Then he went in. Yeah, he ducked in for a while. I didn't think it was going
to
happen.
He was waiting us out and clearly trying to avoid talking to the media. And again, give the Bears credit. They got him back out there to talk to reporters. The conversation was, I would use the word bizarre, odd. You used the word salty. In what you wrote about it. We're going to play the whole thing for you, and I had Twitter requests right away on Wednesday asking how they can hear the whole thing. So we are going to play the whole thing for you here. I was a little surprised.
Have people not heard the whole thing?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't when they were asking me for it Wednesday.
I don't think the Bears broadcast it.
I don't think they put it out there. I'm not sure it's been out there.
I don't think they would. I wouldn't if I were running the Bears social media department. But yeah, whatever you want to do, let it play, man. I think it speaks for itself, or he speaks for himself.
All right, so here's the conversation with Kevin White. It's one of those media scrums, multiple reporters throwing questions in there, and you'll be able to tell right away that he didn't want to talk to us.
How are you feeling?
Really good.
What's it been like to get back out there again?
It's exciting.
Physically, is it when you're dealing with an upper body injury as opposed to your legs? How rejuvenating is that?
It's a lot easier to come back.
How so?
I don't have to learn how to run, walk, and jump again.
How much is the support you got from your brothers, at least publicly, you know, where they were talking about you, you know, pretty passionately during the lead-up to the draft? How much did that kind of help you out or anything along those lines?
Family's everything. I support them. They support me. We hold each other accountable. We pick each other up when we need it.
The team's decision to not pick up the fifth-year option, how much does that serve as motivation for you?
I'm motivated every single day with or without the option.
You look at what Kyle did last year, is also kind of using that as motivation, the way he was able to respond, and what's happened to him since?
Two different people, two different situations. Focus on me, take them one day at a time.
What are reasonable expectations, you think, for you? How do you set expectations for yourself at this point?
Come out here every day and work. Whatever happens, happens.
Do you feel about yourself?
What's that?
Do you feel the team still believes in you?
I don't know. Really don't bother me at all. I believe in myself.
What have you learned about yourself through this adversity that you've gone through in the last year?
Built for tough.
What were your thoughts when the team didn't pick up the option?
Out of my control.
What's been your impression of Coach Furry so far?
Exciting offense.
How do you feel like you fit in this offense?
I hope so.
What was the process in terms of how you learned this offense?
What's that?
What kind of process did you go through in terms of learning this offense?
Study your playbook at night, come out here and do it the next day.
What were your thoughts when they signed Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel?
It's great, whatever it takes for the team to get some wins.
What have been your impressions of them, working with them?
With who?
With Allen and Taylor. Allen's obviously not been on the field, but
Taylor. So with Taylor? Yeah. That's been great.
Does it feel different with different guys here, you know, with them getting the attention and stuff like that, as opposed to yourself?
Attention? But I don't need attention. I'm just coming here to do my job.
Do you feel like there's less pressure on you?
It's pressure on me every day. So
from yourself or
when I wake up, it's pressure. I mean, it's pressure for you to be a media guy, right? Want to be the greatest. Same thing.
What was your conversation with Ryan like when he told you that the fifth year option wasn't going to come to me?
Clean cut and smooth.
Kevin, I've been asked you this before, but in 4 years, how much different, or is having a different position coach every year? How much are technique differences?
It doesn't matter. Roll with the punches. Come in here and do my job every day.
Is Mike different than some of the other guys? Or
yeah, they all have their different different ways of teaching. But it's been great.
You said your belief is strong in yourself. What can you do this year? What do you believe is possible for you from you this season?
Anything I want.
Give numbers? Anything in mind?
Nah, just coming here every day and work.
Well, what defines a successful season in your mind then?
It doesn't matter as long as I'm out here.
What do you like about some of the routes? Some of the different things?
Explosive. Yeah. Explosive routes.
Coach Nagy's talked about kind of building confidence by stacking plays together. How can you go about doing that?
Being available.
Physically, do you feel like you have your explosiveness back after the 2 leg injuries?
I don't know. Watch the film, I guess.
Anything else? Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Watch the film.
Mm-hmm.
I counted 27 questions. I think you might have had a different count.
Yeah, I counted the clarifications. Yeah. The Taylor Gabriel back and forth, whatever you wanted to call that. Your house, so.
But 27, whatever it was, somewhere around
4
there.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. That's not a good interview.
No.
That's an interview that's gone terribly bad. I was caught off guard by this. I don't know.
It was worse than last year when he was asked directly about being a bust.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the thing, though. Kevin White's obviously had a tough 3 years. But he, for the most part, has been, I mean, everyone considers him a good guy. His answers, and this happens to a lot of players, as the longer their career goes, they go from like pretty jovial with the media to tailing off. But I didn't expect anything like that. That to me, usually when a player answers questions like that and is clearly, I mean, that's not far off from I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different way of doing it. And I don't know really what went wrong or where Kevin White has a problem with the media.
Well, I'm sure he's read some things out there calling him a bust.
But here's the thing. I think most of us have defended
right
the fact that, look, if you're going to define a bust and you're going to say that a number 7 overall pick who's played 5 games in 3 years, most people would call that a bust, okay? Probably by definition of a draft pick bust through 3 years. Sorry, man, that's kind of where you fall on that scale.
Yeah.
However, I would also say that almost every single one of us, at least that's around the team and has covered him, has always thrown in the caveat that this is all injuries. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not like it's a guy that just
can't play.
Can't
was overdrafted.
Right.
Physically overrated. Now you can make some of those arguments. I get it, but any physical limitations that he has can be attributed to his injury situation.
And it's our job to report and analyze what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've gotten hurt 3 straight seasons. You've played 5 games. That's not anyone else's fault. It's probably not even your fault. It's just this unfortunate reality of the situation. I don't know. That's why I'm not totally sure that is just about the media. One of the most the parts of that stood out to me maybe the most was when he was asked, do you think the team still believes in you? And he said, I don't know.
He made it a bigger story than needed to be.
I mean, he sounds like he thought his fifth-year option should have been picked up.
Well, then he needs to get better advice from his agent.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't understand. Like, is he mad at the Bears here? To me, there actually sounds like, and again, like you just said, he kind of made this a story. There's something else going on here.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why he would be surprised. look, to pick up the fifth year option, what was it, like 12 or 15 million, something like that? I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it was nothing equal to the compensation or what he's produced in the past. He's done nothing to be rewarded in that fashion. At least Kyle Fuller had actually accrued nearly a full season of starting.
Yeah.
He has not.
Now, he very well may stay healthy for 16 games and live up to his expectations this year, if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kyle Fuller situation, it'll be like next spring, you know, there'll be idiot out-of-towners writing things like, oh, I can't believe the Bears didn't pick up the fifth-year.
Yeah.
What, you got to pick up a fifth-year option for a guy that's played five games?
Yeah.
That's what it is, five games, right?
Yeah.
He played 4 2 years ago. He played one last year, none in his rookie season. I don't know. I was just like caught off guard by this whole thing last week. It surprised me.
I was actually quite optimistic when he first walked up. He smiled. He said hello. Mitch Trubisky is in the background trying to make fun of the situation. I think that's a good sign for Mitch, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he was waiting to do his own press conference, news conference, whatever you want to call it. And then the first question, you asked the first question, and then Colleen Kane. You know, you saw so many journalistic techniques of trying to get answers from a guy who clearly did not want to talk to you.
Yeah. You saw the softball being thrown up there early just to get him talking. He still didn't really want to talk about it.
Yes. You saw some pointed questions.
Some follow-ups, like, how?
So some back and forth. And even his question of, like, how do you fit in this offense? He was like not even listening to some of the questions. How do you fit in this offense? I hope so. What? Doesn't even make sense.
No.
And even the question before that, he answered. Wanted nothing to do with us that day. But you're right. He made it worse than it had to be by saying things. So I don't care if the team believes in me.
Yeah.
You know? I believe in myself. And yeah, you like to hear certain things like that. Of course, the guy's self-confidence is of the utmost importance, but it was a bad look for a guy. And look, he has every right to feel salty about a situation. The team has brought in his replacements, given guys a lot of money to replace him, drafted a guy in the second round to start replacing him. New coach here that did not draft him. Who knows how he's going to fit, but he's got a great opportunity right now with Allen Robinson still recovering from his torn ACL from last season. I mean, he's catching passes for Mitch Trubisky. He is working with the starters almost exclusively. He didn't need this right now. He didn't need to bring this upon himself through his own answers.
Yeah, it seemed odd. Look, we got a ton of audio to play for you on this podcast. One of the things we wanted to do was to introduce you to some of the assistant coaches, because we had a chance to talk to the offensive assistants last week. One of those guys is Mike Furry. Mike Furry is Kevin White's fourth.
I like this guy.
Fourth wide receiver coach in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he is maybe the most intense coach out there during practice.
He looks like he physically can still play.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Like, he dresses as if he's still a player.
He's got a little Jay Glazer in him.
Yeah, yeah. He's got
a shorter guy, built up.
Always ready to go.
And, you know, lacking of the hair.
Well, the
on
bald
top.
Look is now the look at Hallis Hall.
Well, everybody looks like Matt Nagy out there.
Mike Fury included. But.
Right. So anyway, he's one of the guys we want to introduce you to, and this is clearly intertwined with Kevin White, because fourth position coach in 4 years, that doesn't really help things. And last year with Zach Azani, remember that whole training camp story? They clearly weren't on the same page right away.
That was my first day back from Ireland.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Welcome back, buddy.
All right, nursing a 7-day hangover. What is going on with Zach Azani and Kevin White, guys? Why do they hate each other?
Bizarre. So anyway, here's Mike Furry. You get a chance to understand what he's all about and also comment on Kevin White at the same time.
I don't know if it's a clean slate. We're just, you know, this is just the first time him and I have met and the first time he's been in this offense. So for him, he's just come in and he's done everything we've asked him to do and with a great attitude. And so, but again, you got to put it all together, you know. But I think right now in those infancy stages that he's in, he's done everything right. And he's full of energy. He's excited to learn. He wants to learn. And you know, he might want to talk about the past or bring up the past, but I don't. don't know the past, and I don't want to know the past. And everything from here on out is going to be everything in the future, and we've kind of established that. And I think that kind of allows him to relax a little bit and not be judged and not to, you know, have all these things said about him. Because I don't know, and I don't want to read it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't even want to know. All I want him is to be comfortable and be able to learn a new system and be able to learn it as fast as he can so he can go out there. And everybody sees he's very gifted. You know, he's very powerful, lower body powerful. He can run. He's got a great catch radius. And so he has all those intangibles, and that's exciting. But it's really what you do with those every day. And so that's why we'll just continue to have a daily routine and hopefully get better every day and then be able to put it together when we got to go.
I want to make it clear that there's been absolutely no vibes given off that Kevin White's attitude has been an issue at all within the building.
Right.
I mean, Mike Furry just mentioned his attitude's been great. I think Mitch was talking up Kevin White. He's been out there practicing hard. He looks fast. He looks explosive.
Looks better, yeah.
He looks fine.
Why can't he just say that? I feel better.
I don't know.
Right? Like I feel more explosive. Yeah, last year sucked. Little honesty.
But the Bears are also making it very clear that he's got to earn a spot. Nothing's going to be handed to him. Let me ask you this question. Do you think there's any scenario in which Kevin White's not on this team at the start of the season?
No, because you need depth. Allen Robinson still is recovering from a torn ACL. Taylor Gabriel is a nice complimentary piece. Anthony Miller is a rookie. Yeah, you've upgraded talent-wise across the board offensively. You still need some depth. Your depth is not Javon Wims, Tanner Gentry, or Josh Bellamy. God forbid. I mean, if he's playing a big role in your offense again for like with a third consecutive season, you're in trouble. We've seen that. He's a special teams guy, nice guy to have in the locker room. But yeah, you need a Kevin White actually to fill out your roster.
Well, but there are. I agree with you, by the way. But
would you trade him? Could you trade?
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to bring up a scenario here where okay, Allen Robinson's healthy and playing well. Anthony Miller, your second round pick.
What if Kevin White wants out?
May play. That's another thing. I mean, that didn't sound like a guy who's completely happy to be a Chicago Bear right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your guys are healthy and Anthony Miller earns a starting job, or you feel comfortable playing him early. Taylor Gabriel obviously has a kind of a niche spot. Trey Burton's out there. He's going to be on the field a ton, even though he's a tight end. And you know, you have that guy named Tariq Cohen, who's also going to be out there a lot in wide receiver spots. All of a sudden, you're talking about carrying a guy who's only played in five career games, who doesn't give you anything on special teams.
Yes, yes.
And now you're starting to talk about guys like Josh Bellamy sticking on the roster because he can give you special teams. I wouldn't rule out Javon Wims look good so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes. He's somebody who...
Tanner Gentry's actually looked okay.
All right.
But
Javon Wims has some length, some size to him.
I know. I'm just looking at the passes caught during practice, and those guys have caught practice balls.
I just, you know, sometimes things happen in August that are not really... And by the way, all those things happening that I just mentioned, probably unlikely.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get hurt. Somebody's not going to be good.
Here's the thing with Kevin White to consider, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he is as salty as he was with us as he is with his teammates and his new coaches, but we've seen it go salty. Like that whole Zach Azani thing last year, that was bizarre.
Yeah.
There was some saltiness to that. He didn't like being talked about to a certain degree. So maybe he'll read a Mike Fury quote and not like being given a clean slate or whatever, not being given no expectations. Maybe he'll read that the wrong way. So maybe, you know, a lot of what we do is read between the lines. And the reading that Kevin White has given us is not a good one.
Well, I'm sure that this is going to come up again this week because finally came and talked to us last week. Matt Nagy was already done.
Yes,
speaking to the media.
I believe Mark Helfrich was talking at the time.
Yeah, and Mitch I think was done too.
They were coinciding.
Really, the only one we could follow up with on this was Mike Furry, and you heard what he had to say. He handled it in a very diplomatic coaching way, where he didn't promise anything but said he's got a great attitude. The whole thing was just kind of weird, and in May and OTAs, that's the story.
Yeah. Well, again, in training camp, it's a story. Just because the guys carry themselves differently in front of the media, they always have, they always will. It's not, he's not the first to do that, but you know, you reveal yourself, I think, sometimes with how you answer your questions and how you carry yourself when you have to be professional in certain situations, and he took a different route.
Really, and how you handle adversity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talking about it with the media is part of that.
Like, I've thought about it too much, but the more I try to read between the lines, read the tea leaves, whatever you want to say, is he knowingly stepped up to talk to us, and he wanted to be that way.
He took a lot of time thinking about it before he came and talked to us.
Yes, yes. And look, I know the PR department's probably give him a list of questions, whether email, text message, hey, this is what they may ask you. Think about these. And that's how we decide to answer a question about whether or not the team believes in him. How was your conversation with Ryan Pace? Clean cut and smooth. He just literally like described the guy's haircut or something. Oh. It's a bad look.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it all at the end of the day. Not a good look.
Mm-mm.
For Kevin White, as he
not clean cut and smooth,
maybe not built for tough.
There's another one. Like, what? Did you see all the people? You probably got the same responses on Twitter, right? What's the Twitter acronym or the Ford acronym? Fix often or repair, something like that, or whatever it said. Repair daily.
That's funny. That's funny. I don't know what it is, but I know where you're going with that.
Yeah, well, people complain about their Fords.
Yeah, they get it. Yeah.
Maybe it's a bad after Ford. Whatever.
Yeah. By the way, Chevy's from Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet. Great car.
Mm-hmm.
Great car. You got the ride in the Tahoe.
Yes,
today.
Yes. The new Hogmobile.
Well, yeah.
Not different than that thing you were driving around a couple of years in Bourbonnais.
The Miata?
Yeah, your Miata can literally fit in the trunk of the Tahoe.
That. You're right. That thing was little, but that was a fun car to drive for training. That was a perfect car for training.
We got a lot of looks in Bourbonnais.
Yeah. All right. We want to introduce you. Well, okay. We introduced you to Mike Furry. How about we reintroduce you to Harry Hiestand, who has been here before, coming back from Notre Dame, back to the Bears, a place that he really wanted to return to, be back in the NFL, be back with the Chicago Bears, and he's a fun guy to talk football with. You can just tell he's an old school, football guy for sure. let's hear. This is Harry Hiestand talking about why he liked James Daniels so much.
Number one, how well coached he is. Like, he understands how to block, and you put on the film, and you know exactly what you're getting, and that just jumped out. And I've known Kirk Ferentz for a long time, and you know, his son, and I understand. You know, I know Kirk's very involved; always has been with the line. But those guys were taught very similar to how I teach, and Joe Moore was a big influence over Kirk Ferentz, and Joe would. When I was at Illinois, Joe would spend a week with me and then go in Iowa for a week. And, you know, so he'd fix all my knucklehead dumb things I was doing as a coach and then go yell at Ferentz for a week and then come back the next spring. So it was an awesome thing. And so that was in, would have been the late 90s, early 2000s. So, you know, we could see and always talk that, and when we spoke, we were always teaching the same thing and spoke the same language. So for him, all the things, the way we teach leverage and running guys off the ball and accelerating on contact and, you know, all the little details that came from Joe, James does, and he does right now. He's a tremendous athlete that knows how to block.
So Harry will be the third offensive line coach in 3 years.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they've been going through some turnover. It wasn't in there, but he was asked about Eric Kush, and the way he answered it was, "Yeah, you'd want him in a bar fight." That's a good way to.
Well, he's a muscle tee guy.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Oh, would you not want a muscle tee guy in your bar fight corner?
He's the best meat smoker.
Ooh, yes, he
remember?
Is.
Remember?
Yes.
Anyway, I like Harry Hiestand. He was fun to talk to last week.
Yes, absolutely.
Good to have him back at Howell's Hall.
He said a lot of things about a lot of players, actually. He likes his offensive tackles. I'm trying to do the offensive tackles.
I like the offensive tackles.
I like how I just his voice inflection. I find very
it's unique,
positive. Yeah, absolutely. He likes Kyle Long's leadership. I'm starting to. I don't mean to do it now.
Now you're turning.
I'm turning into Harry Hiestand. He praised Kyle Long a little bit. Obviously, I don't get the. I'm getting sidetracked here, but he did talk about the offensive tackle, specifically Charles Leno, for a little bit. Were you there for that part? And Charles Leno gets a lot of heat unnecessarily, I think. A lot of criticism unnecessarily in Twitter land, Twitterverse, whatever you want to call it. And it's unwarranted. I thought he had a very good couple years. He is not one of the highest paid tackles by any means. I don't know if he deserves to be, but he's a quality starter.
He's making exactly what he should.
Yes.
He's not getting an obscene amount of money because he is one of those rare left tackles, and there's only a few of them that you can count on him 99.9% of the time. He's still probably 90% of the time.
Yeah.
He's very reliable overall. He's a very solid left tackle in the NFL. Former seventh round pick. If anything, he should be applauded for how much of a success story he has been as a former seventh rounder.
And he can move. He's not a plotter out there. He can get to the second level. You could pull him and do a lot of different things for him. He's good in screens. And again, Matt Nagy likes athletic offensive linemen. And now you brought in one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. Theroux's pointing up for that offensive line. A lot of good young pieces, and I think Charles Leno deserves to be part of the conversation when you're mentioning your James Daniels and your Cody White ears. He doesn't deserve all the criticism that he gets.
Yeah, I think it's overblown too. And anyway, the offensive line fits right in with everything else with the offense. You know, it's trending upward.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the James Daniels pick because it helps the depth. It felt like they needed one more guy this offseason. That's why. That's why I was such a big fan of Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, because I just felt like he would fix a lot of the problems. But you know, James Daniels could do that too.
Give him a year under Harry Hiestand. He's 20 years old, a couple years younger than a Quentin Nelson.
Well, there's something to be said about that Iowa stuff that Harry was talking about there. I mean, Iowa is definitely more of an old school pro style offensive type. I mean, they depend on their offensive linemen, and Notre Dame's the same way. You know, Wisconsin's up there, Ohio State's up there. It's not always about the style of offense you're running. It's how those offensive linemen are developed. I mean, I think Ohio State's probably a little different because they're a little bit more spread it out, and they just kind of have five star recruits at every position,
so they
can transition the NFL a little bit better. Whereas Iowa and Wisconsin, actually, they're more so bringing in three-star guys that are just being developed and coach really, really well, which is what Harry Hiestand was talking about in there. So I think we spent so many months talking about how Quentin Nelson or Mike McGlinchey might work with Harry Hiestand because he coached him in college. Just because James Daniels didn't spend those 4 years with Harry at Notre Dame, he's that mold of a guy.
Absolutely.
That fits perfectly of what Harry wants to coach. And I would say Cody Whitehair is the same way. Kyle Long, I mean, this is a great hire. I mean, it's a really one of the better hires in the entire football league this year.
The drills look different. Can we say that? Can we talk about the drills?
I mean, I think you could say they look different. I don't...
Not going to talk about the hand technique of the placement and whatnot.
I don't know if you want to give any secrets away.
But the drills look significantly different. Again, you mentioned the turnover rate of this is the third offensive line coach in as many seasons for some of these guys. Go back to Aaron Cromer, and the drills look different already. Again, I don't know the science of offensive linemen. It's not my forte or my expertise, but I know Harry Hiestand. I know his reputation. This is going to work. Great hire by Matt Nagy.
One of the guys who is not new on that side of the ball, and I shouldn't just say one of the guys, the only guy on the offensive side of the ball that is not new on the coaching staff is Dave Ragone. He's the one assistant that was kept on by Matt Nagy. He was the guy that worked closest with Mitch Trubisky in his rookie season, the quarterback coach, the guy who was with him. I thought that Dave Ragone was especially interesting talking to him on Wednesday. This is a kind of we played a little bit of Harry Hiestand, a little bit of Mike Furry. This is a longer conversation with Dave Ragone. Some really good stuff about why he believes in Mitch Trubisky, why he wanted to stay in Chicago, and then just sort of the unique aspect of him being the one holdover, the one guy on the offensive side of the football that knows these players that are still here. So here's the conversation with Dave Ragone from last week, the Bears quarterbacks coach, starting with his first impressions with the new head coach, Matt Nagy.
I think more just impression standpoint is that you can tell he's a phenomenal teacher, because to your point, he was teaching all of us. We all have come from different backgrounds, and the different systems I have been in from a player and coach, I maybe have heard or said some of the same things, but to hear him truly install it that way to us, you can tell how he's would be in front of a group, not just of coaches, but players. And I think for the rest of us, you know, regardless if it's a play we've run before or never seen before, the way that he was installing it to us, you could just sense this play is going to work, right? The confidence, the conviction behind it. I think that's what we took more than anything else, not speak for other coaches, but, you know, his passion, conviction, and his command of the offense, you know, made the rest of us, specifically me, want to learn it faster, understand it better, and be able to teach it the best I can, just because you can feel the way he was speaking about it.
What's it like to be new scheme, new staff, but be the one guy that still has the common link to the players that were here last year?
Sure. You know, obviously that's on the offensive side. I mean, the defense, obviously, there. Yeah. But, you know, for me, it's one of those where every year is a new year, right? From a roster to the coaches to all that. And, you know, I feel more than fortunate, obviously, to be in the situation I was, to be able to be here because of the organization, first and foremost, what the McCaskies and Ryan Pace on down, what they stand for, and then obviously getting to meet Coach Nagy and hearing a lot of great things about him, but meeting him in person. And then obviously the end piece is working with Mitchell. And as a kid I truly believe in, you know, and there's obviously a relationship that was there prior to that. And when you're a quarterback coach in this league and you think there's a guy that you want to work with, and if you're fortunate enough to be in a situation where you can work with them, it's a great situation. And for me to be here with some of the same guys coming back, I think from a player's and from my perspective, like I said before, it's a new year and guys have approached it as, hey, this is a new deal. Let's go learn the best we can. Let's take the field with great energy. And it's all because of how the head coach has approached it, and we all appreciate that.
You were just talking about how the coaches had learned scheme too. What benefits can there be to kind of having to do that with the quarterback at the same time, instead of it being, okay, the coach knows it and you're just teaching it to a guy who doesn't? You guys are kind of learning it together.
Yeah, and I think the two missing links too, a little bit, are in Tyler Bray and Chase Daniel.
Sure.
I mean, you've got two guys, and Tyler has been in the system 5 years, and Chase has been back and forth in this system and been in a different system and has come back. And what's great for not just me, but what's great for Mitchell is he gets to see a live experience of those guys maybe going through a rep that he hasn't taken yet, and those guys have equity built in that play because they've run it a bunch of times. And to see that visually, and just instead of seeing it on the board or on tape, but seeing guys do it has been tremendous for Mitchell. Now, from my standpoint, what Coach Nagy's done a great job of, he spent about 2-3 months with us as coaches, and it was every day, and we had learned it to the best of our ability. So obviously we had the head start in the players, but sure, there's things that come up just in no matter what system you've been in for 1 year or years that, hey, we need to talk about that. You know, that's a great coaching point that maybe wasn't said, and I think we all grow with it.
Have you sensed anything from Mitch? It's always difficult bringing up these questions with the intent not being to bash the previous coaching staff by any means, but just in any way, if he was held back last year, do you sense with this all the new energy around here in the building, the new offense, that he feels like he can really break out of his shell in the scheme?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a tough question. For me personally, and this is the way that Mitchell and I have talked about this too, I know I've said this, but once that page was turned from the year before to this year, it has been 100% focused on Coach Nagy, the offense, what we need to build on from what we gained last year, not what we lost, but what we gained in terms of experience, some of the good things that happened, some of the good things that maybe didn't happen on the field but you learned in the classroom. And I think that was he and I's objective, is to move forward. Every year is a new year. He's got to understand that. He's going to have new players around him as you're a quarterback in this league, as a starter. And it's move forward. And I think that's been – I think Coach Nagy obviously does a great job of explaining this, his next play mentality. And it's been the same thing since Mitchell and I have been together this offseason. It's next page, next play. So once we learn something, we're moving on. There's no – hey, this is what we used to – there's none of that. It's just moving forward with the whole direction. And I think if you don't look back in those looks and you just go forward with those things, I think you can go a lot farther. And I think that's obviously what we're trying to build.
So the last question was interesting. You know, when you're in the situation where things didn't go well last year and you're trying to ask a guy about how things will be different this year, you never want to present a question like you're bashing the previous coaching staff. But – Dave kind of recognized the fact, because the question was, you know, if Mitch was at all held back last year by that offense, can you sense that maybe he's ready to break out of his shell this year within this scheme? And he kind of acknowledged, yeah, I understand why that's a tough question to ask, and, you know, kind of giggled. You know, like there was sort of like a subtle
giggled
like recognition that
football guys giggle
that yeah, maybe last year's system wasn't the best. So I think that there's clearly an expectation that things should be better under Matt Nagy. A couple things in there you heard him talk about how great of a teacher Matt Nagy is. He had to teach the coaches the scheme, a lot of them.
Very underrated aspect, I think, of this offseason.
Like, they spent a lot of months.
It's ongoing.
Weeks, like before the players ever came back, those coaches were, you know, a lot of February, March was spent teaching the coaches so that they could teach the players. And then you heard Dave, we're going in there, also talk about how much he believes in Mitch Trubisky. And that's a big reason. You know, when coaches certainly understand how important quarterbacks are in this league, you attach yourself to the right quarterback, it can help your career quite a bit.
Do you remember what Dow Loggins kept saying at the end of the season? I believe in this quarterback. I think he said it several times, 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
Well, how many years did we just talk about how many careers did Jay Cutler how many coaching careers Jay Cutler killed?
Yes, yes.
You
yes,
know,
yes.
They, I mean, that actually became a thing of like...
Mm-hmm. Players want to attach themselves to quarterbacks now. We heard Prince Umukamara talk about it a couple weeks ago during the first OTAs.
How much he wanted to come back because of Trubisky.
Right, you hear it all the time. Richard Sherman joining the 49ers. He thought Jimmy Garoppolo was a pretty good quarterback. Okay, let's give this a shot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't join the... I guess things might be different in Cleveland now, but... You get where I'm going with this. It helps in free agency. It helped lure in Allen Robinson. It helped get Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton. Mm-hmm. It helped to have Mitch Trubisky as part of your pitch. I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a good quarterback. How great? I don't know. I think this offense fits him better, significantly better than what John Fox. I don't want to even say Dow Loggins. What John Fox wanted Dow Loggins to run.
I think we've made it perfectly clear how we feel about the last offense.
Yes.
I hope you're enjoying all this audio we have for you this week. And I found Dave are going to be very interesting. The last thing we have for you, this was actually not planned. It just sort of happened. But Adam and I ended up talking to Adam Shaheen. It was the Three Adams podcast. We could start a new podcast, Adam, Adam, and Adam.
Yes.
With Adam Shaheen. So we just ended up having a conversation with the Bears tight end going into his second year, and I actually found a couple of his answers to be pretty interesting, too. We kept talking about him being needing to get more physical this year, and he actually kind of had a different take on what he needs to improve in year two. Here's Adam Shaheen.
So last week, Matt Nagy was kind of admitting that you were bigger than he originally thought you would be, and complimenting your catch radius. Would you say you've been able to kind of show the head coach that so far in practice?
We've only had, what is this, our fifth today. So, you know, just been trying to go out and compete. And, you know, coming off an injury last year, just get back out there feels good. So I know what I can do, and, you know, big body, big catch radius. So, yeah.
How much of the focus this offseason was on getting stronger, being able to play more physical in year two?
I was pretty damn physical last year. My focus this year was really to get more fluid, be a lot more mobile, a lot more flexible, so that I wouldn't have, you know, some of the nagging injuries I had over the season last year, and just be able to move and run, you know, better than I did last year.
What did you make of your rookie season? I think every catch you had, you came out of a 3-point stance.
I think, you know, I made the most of it. You know, when I was given an opportunity, I went out there and showed that I can play and be a starter in this league. So,
how much do you, in terms of the information that you've been given, how much does this seem to fit you better, the new offense that, that Nagy's putting in place here?
I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for. Like, this is such a bigger offense as far as tight ends actually being involved, and that's not me, that's any of us. So from that aspect, yeah, it's absolutely, it's awesome compared to last year, so it's good.
Do you find yourself watching a lot of Zach Ertz?
We watch more Kelsey at the moment, just because, you know, coming from Kansas City, it's which is another pretty dang good one to watch. So it's good.
When you say that this is just an offense that tight ends are more involved, is that different ways you're lining up, different route combinations you guys are running? Can you expound on that a little bit?
I mean, everything. I mean, we're just, you know, you see the production that Kelsey has, and we're kind of bringing that playbook over, and Trey can step into that role, and it'll be really good, I think, for the tight end room.
In terms of mismatches, Nagy's actually talked a lot about finding those mismatches. How do you think you could be one of those mismatchers, or if that makes sense to you?
I'm a big body that can run and catch, strong hands, so that's,
yeah,
I think that's,
but in terms of being more fluid and stuff like that, like, what was the goal, I guess, in terms
just
of
just to be able to run, cut, get lower, everything, and blocking, better leverage, just core stability, it's huge. I think it's helped a lot.
There's Adam Shaheen last week at Hallis Hall.
Why did I ask about Zach Ertz?
I don't know.
I don't know why I had the Philadelphia Eagles in mind.
The Eagles and the Chiefs, it's like they're,
I know,
they're the
I know,
same team.
I know, but Matt Nagy is not Doug Peterson.
No, he's not. Doug Peterson
still,
has
it's
a
the,
ring.
It's the similar, it's the same tight end that they're learning.
Yeah.
Now Kelsey has been Nagy's for the past couple of years, but I don't
Kelsey's
know.
Kelsey's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Zach Ertz is pretty damn good. Can Adam Shaheen be pretty damn good?
I still think he has a chance. I mean, I don't know that I'm saying Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, that's why you signed Trey Burton to fill some of that.
I've said this many times. I felt like he was put in that same group of guys last year that were just not used properly in that system. Now, you know, I talked about him being more physical. I might be off base on that a little bit, because he's now the, I mean, Ryan Pace said it at the owners' meetings that he actually thought that Adam Shaheen was, you know, a good blocker last year and was pretty physical at the point of attack. And then Adam Shaheen right there said the same thing, and more of the issue was, you know, stretching out, being more flexible, preventing some of those nagging injuries. So, you know, sometimes we wrap that up into not being durable enough at the NFL level, but, you know, it all falls under the same category in different ways. The point is he needs to be available more.
Yeah.
But when he was available, I thought he showed a lot of promise and had some big plays. And maybe the only criticism of him was that he looked a little awkward running sometimes. And so maybe that's also what he's talking about, being more fluid in his movements.
So my last questions didn't come out right. I think I was concerned. I still remember doing that interview on the sideline. I thought Kevin White was coming over at one point. He was going inside. He got up and went inside. Was not coming over to talk to us yet. Was eluding us for that time being. So anyway, what I meant to ask him, what I kind of, my convoluted way of asking him was, how do you think your off-season training will help you be more of a mismatch or a mismatcher?
Mismatcher.
I called him for this season, and obviously what I was getting at is, how do you think you'll be faster? How do you think you can gain separation better by being more fluid, by enhancing your natural athleticism, by changing your training?
Sure.
I think he will be. He had some good games, the Lions game at Soldier Field. Couple athletic tight end-like catches, you tight end-like catches over the middle. I think he could still be a valuable piece of this offense. You look at Nagy's creativity, the way he wants to be creative, the way he's got Mark Helfrich here, the way he's not going to limit himself offensively. He did not have the combination of an Adam Shaheen and a Trey Burton in Kansas City. He just had a Travis Kelce to kind of move around. But now you got these two tight ends, one who's more of a traditional inline guy, yes, I get it, but who is athletic enough on certain downs to throw some creative looks at teams, to be a mismatch for a smaller safety. I think they can do some different look-like things out there.
Well, I think ideally, they're hoping that Adam Shaheen can gradually steal playing time from Deion Sims, who is not so much of a pass catcher. Can do it in certain situations, but is really no more of a more as a blocker. Right. So if Shaheen can continue to prove that he can block at the NFL level, which apparently he has done enough so far, and also be that pass catcher, then he's probably going to be out there more than Deion Sims once he earns that. But they didn't just cut Deion Sims like some people thought. They brought him back, and they're creating competition, which is also important. The point is that, you know, last year that tight end room got a lot of hype as being a really deep position.
Yeah.
And then after Zach Miller got hurt middle of the year, it wasn't so deep.
Well, you're also playing the wing T at that point, too, with Mr. Trubisky and...
Right.
You know, your wide receivers were Tanner Gentry and Trey McBride mm-hmm. at that point. So the attrition kind of got the entire offense at that point. Look, if what we've seen in practice is any indication of what they're trying to do with Adam Shaheen, like that one play where all of a sudden he's sprinting down the middle of the field wide open and he's got a 50-yard gain, they're doing some inventive things with him. Good sign. Very good sign for a player who some people were very disappointed with going from Division II to the NFL last season.
Yeah, a little probably too high expectations for somebody making that kind of jump. And it's certainly on my list of guys who I think in this system should be set up for more success. So it should be fun watching him. This has been an interesting couple weeks of OTAs, in my opinion, mm-hmm. just especially watching that offense. There's a different vibe going on, and it's exciting to see. We'll have another episode next week for you, and probably one after mandatory veteran.
Yeah. Two more before the big show begins, I think.
And then we take our little summer hiatus between mini camp and training camp, and then we start a whole new season, which will be season 4 of Hogan Johns already.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
157 episodes in, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've covered Lovie Smith. We've covered Mark Trestman. We've covered John Fox. Now, I know the podcast hasn't been around for that long, but 4 seasons together, 4th head coach. Away we go.
Here we go. And 0 playoff games.
Yeah, nothing like them either. Like, okay, maybe that one Packers game, the Chris Conley game, that was a playoff. Like,
yeah, that was the closest to the playoff. And it was as bad as it could have gone at the end.
But I'm buying the vibe right now.
You're buying in.
I'm buying in. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'll buy a packet.
The packet of the Kool-Aid that you pour in.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
What's the guy saying when he bursts through the wall? He always says something.
Oh, yeah. What does he say? The Kool-Aid guy.
What does he say? Hiya, or something like that. Someone saying it somewhere?
Where did that just come from? That was like, it was really creepy, but that was exactly...
The ghost of WGN and now saying goodbye.
Yeah, we're being spoken to by a ghost. It was, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm not even sure that was actually on the air or not. It just came through our headphones.
Oh yeah.
Bizarre. All right, let's get out of here. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. We'll be back next week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Might have to add that to the soundboard.
Yeah, when someone gets a little too excited about drinking too much Kool-Aid, or...
Oh, yeah. You're on it, Joe Romano. Our complaint line, at Joey Joe Rowe on Twitter. Read us, WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. We'll have more coverage this week from Hallis Hall. Actually, I won't be there Wednesday. White Sox got a day game.
I'll fill you in.
So it's all on you this time, buddy.
I'll take good notes.
But I'll be there for all of minicamp next week. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. Search Hogan Johns. Please rate and review. We appreciate you doing that, spreading the word, and tell all your friends. It's been fun. Getting close to summer. Felt like summer this weekend. Holy crap, it was hot.
Very hot.
I think it's going to cool down. We're getting hit by a tropical storm tomorrow, so practice might be inside tomorrow.
Back to the dome?
Probably.
I'm kind of spoiled. They were kind of spoiled by those 2 days.
All right, we will talk to you next week, everybody. Have a good week.
Josh, who's the best meat smoker of your offensive line?
What do you mean by meat smoker?